back to the Hey Woody podcast, where we take a deep dive into the Ocean State. I was your host, Nick, but new development. We've been away for a bit now, which everybody would know because we haven't had any new episodes come out. And we had a couple new people join our team who are actually going to be taking over as a host for the show. And so this episode is just going to be the three of us, and you'll get to know our new hosts, Chris and Jenna.
Hello.
and you can tell it's the first episode because that was awkward. But Chris and Jenna both joined our team recently. Chris in the sales department and Jenna as our digital media specialist, both of whom have a love for the podcast world. Chris definitely has a love for the podcast world, but I'm going to let him tell you all about it himself.
Yes, it's been a journey. So I've hosted Let's Chat with Chris Revel for about a decade, which led me to actually being on this very podcast where we all got to meet. And one of the last episodes I did was with you guys a couple of years ago. And then from that, I've done a lot of producing and working on a lot of podcasts over the years. Currently working on a documentary about podcasting on the marketing end called Age of Audio, which I'm really excited about, and started a podcast company with Nathan Peavy for Let's Chat Podcasting, which is podcasting services. So I've been doing, this has been my hobby turned career for the last, full-time professionally for the last 2 years.
Wow.
But a lot of working non-podcast related jobs leading up to this.
And then there's me.
Yeah. So Jenna, what's your podcast history?
It's my first one. I originally was in the education world, realized after 7 years, I can't handle this. It's too much. Totally did a career pivot at 29 and here I am.
And now she's joined the team. So podcast, we'll continue. We were on a short hiatus, and with new hosts, we'll, I'm sure that we'll have some new stuff happening. We're going to have tons of new guests that will come on. You'll hear less from me. I may be on some of the episodes. I may just be in the background of some of the episodes. But from here on out, it'll be mostly Chris and Jenna.
I'm really excited. I'll sell myself up. I definitely had this idea before when we started the interview process. I brought up in the interview, like it was in the back of my head for so long. Mm-hmm. And I've said this many times, like I was a fan of the podcast, which I was super happy to get to be on because it was really good. It was like very good. And it made me really appreciate Rhode Island a lot more in a way I didn't because I'm from Connecticut originally. And so it's exciting. It's pretty cool to go from a guest to actually host the thing. I'm pretty excited. It's pretty cool. But yeah, this is going to be incredible. Like, well, we met what, 3 months ago?
3 months ago.
And now we always joke because it's like we got hired around the same time, and then within 3 months I've had experiences I've never had in my entire life, like Pilates
and jeans.
In jeans.
I didn't know what else to wear. I didn't know what else to bring.
So you thought jeans?
Well, I couldn't wear like my pajama pants. I had Spider-Man pajama pants were my only option. And I was like, it's going to be on video. But we should shout out Laura from Rare Form Pilates and the cutest little dog in the world because that was a ton of fun. But yeah, so this is quite the journey.
Yeah, it really has been. Even like when you said the word interview, I was thinking back to when I did interview and I was like, I'm not getting the job. Like I don't know what I just said. And now look, here I am.
That's funny. We both pivoted careers. I mean, yeah. I was in digital marketing right before this position, but before that, I had 11 years in health and human services. So at 38, I made my career pivot. But so you were a teacher?
Yes, I was a kindergarten teacher for 7 years.
Damn. And are you allowed to say where? Like not the school, but like the city?
Yeah, it was in Woonsocket.
Woonsocket.
Good old Woonsocket.
Can I sidebar first?
Almost harmonized, yeah. Go for it.
I think Woonsocket gets a bad rap. I want to go on record. I'm pro Woonsocket.
It deserves the bad rap.
You know, I like that town. I've had some good times up there. There's some nice neighborhoods.
It's like everything else. There's good parts and bad parts of every city. I grew up next to Woonsocket, so I mean, North Smithfield, I'm sure, has a jaded view of Woonsocket and vice versa. So
that's too funny. How did you find this position? I've always curious that, like,
I think actually when Nick emailed me, he was like, you applied on both Indeed and on like another one, because I was just like mass applying to get out of education, that I was like throwing everything like at the kitchen sink.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of teachers or educators at some point hit that brick wall, especially now.
Oh,
it's just like there was a time where your teacher in like the community was like a respected person, and like if you disrespected your teacher, your parents would have whooped your ass.
Yeah.
And now it's, you know, your teachers are just glorified babysitters that don't get paid enough money and get abused by kids all day.
Retweet. Yeah, literally 5-year-olds like telling you to F off.
Sweet.
Or saying to the superintendent.
I would have such a hard time not laughing at kids.
Oh, I would at times, because I'm like, this is absolutely absurd. Like, what is going on? I can't believe like college did nothing to prep me for this.
I feel like everyone says that. That's like college for everybody now. It's like, I didn't learn anything I used in the rest of my career from college. Like I feel like I learned more about like people skills and stuff that you have to learn in the job at like Starbucks than I did at college.
Yeah. I mean, luckily where I went to a lot of technical training at New England Tech. So like all the stuff, a lot of the stuff that I learned in most of the classes, the gen ed stuff is bull anyway. I mean, you have to make sure people can do basic math and stuff, but the technical stuff there actually trained you to use like the physical programs you'd be using.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like that stuff helped, but everything else I just learned from my actual work history
and YouTube
job.
Or TikTok.
Yeah.
TikTok didn't exist when I graduated college.
I think when I graduated, it was like Vine.
Yeah. Vine, which they keep talking about bringing back, and it might still come back.
Well, Snapchat is like coming back too. It's now you can scroll through it like Reels.
I never was a Snapchat person.
Yeah, I never snapped.
You know what I realized?
Definitely not exploring it.
Okay. Apparently I am.
You're a resident youth.
Well, you know, you are a digital media specialist.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Good to hear.
So I was going to say, like, I was looking back. I used to record like everything and then save it. And my friends were like, why do you do this? I'm like, it's funny to look back on.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
On Snapchat?
Yeah.
Like the whole point of Snapchat was for it to disappear.
I'm like, I'm saving it.
God, if I could get a hold of my old MySpace page, I would love to see that.
Right? I bet you still could find them somewhere. Yeah. If you knew the actual URL, you could use one of those websites like the Wayback Machine or something that like catalogs everything on the internet.
I hope not.
Pretty much everything. Remember, kids, that everything you put on the internet does not disappear.
It will find you.
Imagine growing up now, man. I couldn't. If I had access to the open internet like the way that it is now when I was like 15,
yeah,
I don't even know. I'd never be able to get a job, I don't think.
I don't think so either. I wouldn't know how to like talk to people. Or we'd be really smart because of everything you can learn on TikTok.
Yeah, and plus the bad part about that is there's too many videos that follow the exact same formatting and are just bullshit.
Yeah.
So everybody thinks they're learning stuff and it's just not even true. Yeah. But then there is a lot of stuff that's very true. So it's like, how do you have to be able to sort through it? Imagine trying to do that when you were 15.
I think the younger generation is way more media literate than we are. But you're definitely right. You know what? I just also is really frustrates me too. If you want access to high end prestige journalism, all of those sites are paywalled. But if you want to find like,
it's because they're going out of business.
Yeah, that too. But if you want to find a bunch of BS, like misinformation, fake stuff, that's all free.
Yeah, you just have to know where to look. It's a vast,
it's a weird
wild
world.
West of the internet that you have to just find, you know, your civilized towns in.
Well, I really like Reddit.
I love Reddit.
I get sucked into Reddit, and it's like I'm part of like a text message one, and it's just like couples fighting.
Oh my God, it's the best.
And it's like, I'm like, I need to do my Reddit scroll before I go to bed, like every night.
Yep. All
I used to be big. I feel like I go through like phases of Reddit. Or phases of like social media in general.
Yeah.
Where I'll like spend a ton of time on Reddit at some point. A ton of time. Well, YouTube I just am always on now, but I don't think that's going to go away.
Yeah, no. And Reddit is ruthless because I one time posted asking a question about like, oh, if anywhere in Rhode Island does like the scooped out bagel because it was trending. So I was like, gonna maybe do like a blog about it.
Yeah.
Absolutely roasted. They told me to like leave the state. I was like,
wow.
Like, they're like, you must be from California. Like,
oh, oh my God.
No, it was funny. I was like, do you think I deserve
people from
that.
California know what Rhode Island even is?
Is?
Yeah.
No.
they think it's Long Island.
I used to go to South Carolina. Yeah, is that part of Long Island?
Oh, New York? Like, no.
Nope.
Yeah, no, it's I literally.
I used to just be like, yep, I'm not explaining this to you anymore.
No.
No, it's, isn't it funny for you, especially Nick, because you've been, you, how long have you been here? A minute.
Almost 8 years.
8 years. In like the world where the newspaper industry, there was a period like print is dead, it's all, which it's not. Clearly, because we're still here, but like all that and the whole digital shift of how it's kind of now shifting back from digital.
It is starting to, yeah. It's interesting. It's similar to how records came back.
Yeah.
People like physical stuff to hold. I mean, you're seeing it in the video game industry too, where everything went completely digital, but now they want to charge you even more money. And it used to be that if you got the digital copy of a game when they first came out, it was cheaper than the physical copy, because obviously it should be. And now it's the same price. You can't even really get physical copies that easily anymore. And they're like batting around the idea of like charging per hour now, like a couple of the RPGs and stuff are, which will never actually happen, but it always swings the wrong way. Yeah. So now they're going to ruin it.
That's a toxic.
And it's
going
to go all the way back again. But you see it in every industry of them trying to get very, very digital or as low, which basically comes down to as low overhead as physically possible.
Yeah, without cannibalizing itself.
Exactly. And then it does cannibalize itself, and then they have to kind of revert.
So, like, you started, what, 2015? 2016?
It would be early 2016, I think.
2016, okay. What's been your experience of working in the print industry in that era of, like, the narrative was that print was dead?
Yeah, I mean, it still kind of exists, if you want to... want me to be honest, you still hear it. You hear it more from a lot of newer businesses, people that are being like quote unquote trendy or want to be trendy and don't know, like aren't necessarily completely plugged into the advertising landscape. What they really mean when they say print is dead is they're like, I want to spend as little money as physically possible, which sure, everybody does, keeps your overhead down. But to answer your question more directly, in like 2016, that era, that was an ongoing thing. People saying print is dead. But we happen to be one of the few publications or publishing companies that has withstood the test of time. We used to be fighting with people on the shelves. So I almost feel like it became a self-fulfilling prophecy where enough outlets started saying print is dead. And they started putting that out into the ether. And then it started to actually kill print. Because if you hear enough, whatever, newscasters or radio show hosts or somebody on TV telling you that print is dead, you're not going to want to allocate your spending budget to print. And then it starts to kill print, which maybe you could put your tinfoil hat on and say that that was on purpose by another industry. But... it's really, it's really just, I think, part of how the culture handles anything new coming along. They just assume the old thing is going to die. Mm-hmm. But it did make that happen for a good portion of publications in this state. So when I joined up 8 years ago, we had a lot more competition on shelves. We used to be an oversized magazine. We printed larger. Mm-hmm. That way we would stand out. We went from that to a standard size in newsprint, to a standard size in glossy, to we used to have Hey Rudy was quarterly, and we used to have Eastside Monthly, which was monthly, and then we phased out Eastside Monthly into Providence Monthly, and we made Hey Rudy Monthly. So like we've just gotten pretty good at adapting quickly and changing things on the fly, which has helped us a lot. We also have the advantage that we do multiple publications. So we weren't, if one starts to lag, hopefully you get the others to pick up and you get to keep moving forward. And we have great owners who put their employees in front of everybody else. So that helps a lot too.
And then, so all this is happening, but then there's a pandemic. So what's like, I can't wait for your book, or especially got our publisher's book about like this industry. It's fascinating. Like, you've got to live through some interesting parts, but like 2020, like, did you, were you all just like, all right, we're all done, pack it up?
Well, we all just assumed it wasn't going to happen. We thought it was bullshit. Yeah. I mean, you don't know who, it's easy to forget how everything actually went. But we had a party that was in the works. It was March 2020 when everything officially shut down. We had a party that was in the works. We were in the middle of going to press with magazines. I want to say we were right in the middle of our press cycle. So we print Providence Monthly, Soul Rhode Island, The Bay, and Hey Rhodey. At the time, I think it was Providence Monthly, Eastside Monthly, The Bay, and Soul Rhode Island. And we were halfway through, and then things actually shut down. The notice came through. We're doing the whatever 2 weeks to flatten the curve.
Yeah,
that worked. or whatever. So then we had to cancel a party. We had to cancel two of our magazines because at first we were going to go through with them, but then we found out they were literally shutting everything down. We wouldn't have had anywhere to put them. And I mean, beforehand, we were talking about it because it was still overseas and it hadn't really made it here. There was like one or two cases, and I'm the one that says everybody needs to stop, like, because everybody freaks out. We have a big group of people like, sky is falling. And I'm the one being like, no, it's not. Like, nothing's going to happen. This is what the news tells us every day. They said this was going to happen because of like blueberries last week. Like, you really think this is a big issue? Turns out it was a bigger issue. So we did end up having to shut everything down. But I mean, we had to close the doors. Everybody did. But like, we had to close the doors, send everybody home. We ended up laying off most of the staff for, I think, give or take 6 months or so.
Wow.
Luckily, I mean, they were the lucky ones now that I look back on it.
Yeah.
Got the extra money every week. They were collecting unemployment. Four of us had to stay working at the same amount that we were making before and do all of the work. So you're welcome, everybody else. I mean, you don't look at it like that, you know, in the time being, but
Now you're like, what? Yeah,
I wish I would have gotten that extra money. That would have been fun. Instead, I was just working and paying those taxes. The big thing that we ended up doing was it started pushing us toward doing more digital content because we couldn't put things out, but we didn't want to be radio silent. So we started putting out more stuff on our websites, on our social media. We had to keep, like, it was myself at that point, it was just the art department. We had one salesperson that was still on. We had one of the people from the editorial team, and then our, at the time, general manager was still there. She actually left like right in the beginning of the pandemic. So I, like, I always say it's like it was like a wartime promotion. They like looked around and they went, "You'll do." Yeah. And I just took over the company in the middle of a pandemic.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Yeah, exactly. I honestly think a lot of like other people didn't want it too, and whatever. It was, it was a big change, but I went from being the creative, art director, creative director, to the general manager and creative director of, at that point, a team of like four people, and then other people on that were on a layoff, and then, you know, had to bring everybody back and figure out what we were going to do. And that was the point where we got rid of Eastside Monthly and made Providence Monthly and and rolled it into Providence Monthly. I should say Providence Monthly already existed. And we kind of just went from there. It was a wild couple of years. I mean, it's still kind of wild, but.
You guys did good. I remember the one you guys had did the stay at home. Chuck and Gina did
that
one. It was like a graphic of like work at home. Like, remember like the.
Yeah, it was like work at home chic or whatever the heck they called it, with men and women. And it was like
it was funny.
Pictures of them and then like, you know, point outs of like all the different stuff they were wearing. It was pajama pants that haven't been washed in 4 days.
Literally.
messy hair.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
Because, you know, I've been a reader since I started visiting Rhode Island in 2010. But I around that time, too, that's when I met Elise. I ended up interviewing Elise for Let's Chat, like our editor-in-chief around that time. And I don't think, was Robert Eisenberg working here at that point? Or he might have been after. I'd interviewed him, either he was working here or post-working here. So I had become friendly. But there was like, I remember finding a renewed sense of fandom for myself within like the digital stuff, like when all that happened. Like, the creativity that came out of it from here was like really impressive.
Yeah, I mean, we were trying. We always had some version of a digital presence. We didn't have a digital media specialist until I took over and we came back from COVID, and that was when we hired Sasha. And then Sasha left, and then we hired Jenna. Mm-hmm. And so once we have had a digital media specialist that could just focus on it, it changed a lot of things too. We at one point just had people, whoever had a second, posting random mm-hmm. stuff to random places, and it was never a focus. So once it became more of a focus, obviously it did a lot better.
And Sasha was the old you two started this together.
Yeah, exactly.
So she's mm-hmm. She's going to be on at some point. So,
oh, that'll be fun.
She's probably listening. Hi, Sasha. Keep her out a little.
Well, Chris, what about you? How did you get into podcasting?
Oh, how did I get? Oh, boy. Let's see. No, it's probably not that interesting if I'm thinking about it. I started listening to them. I don't exactly remember one, but the first one I ever listened to, there's two, was Alternative Press had one, and Mark Hoppus had one called Hi, My Name Is Mark. And I used to listen to it on my computer or my iPod.
Throwback.
And I remember when I was in college, it was like, I remember being in college, and at the time we had a defunct radio station and we were trying to pull it back together, and I remember pushing really hard because they wanted to do an internet radio that would reach the circumference of the county that we were in Vermont. And I remember pushing really hard, like, guys, what are you doing? There's this new technology, not new, but like newish. Let's do podcasting. It kind of fell through. So I was just listening for a long time. And then I remember I was at my old job. It was a shout out Laura Carr's ex-boyfriend and I at the time. We were in a training for my old human services jobs. And it's almost kind of, we were both just talking about, I remember wanting to do it, but I just didn't have the skill set to start, but I can. And so then this guy, Mike and I just, we just kind of started it, and it just kind of took over my life from there. And then I remember also when I moved to Providence in 2011, I worked at the Biltmore Hotel and I worked in Aaron Briggs, and I live on the West Side. So I was just walking everywhere. So I would just
became, for context, Chris is currently wearing a t-shirt that shows the Biltmore Hotel
I used to work.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know they had merch.
No, this
That's
is
probably a Frog and Toad or something.
No, I want to say it's, I'll have to link them to the show. I think they're called Parchment, but there's, if you go the east side inside the Matchbox. I got this mm-hmm. at the farmer's market.
Gotcha.
I actually just saw, but they're always at the flea market and stuff.
Yeah.
So I just like listened to them. I was just listening to them like obsessively. And then Mike quit. And then for whatever reason, I just kind of kept going, and it steamrolled and steamrolled and steamrolled.
And here you are now.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I was working at that point when I first started, I was working at Alternatives, which is no longer there. I was a mental health counselor for community-based flexible supports. So a lot of my life has changed since all that happened too. Like,
yeah.
Like I remember like my mom was really sick at the time too. So I look back and be like, you know, there's a big part of that was like distraction away from like dealing with my mom's cancers and stuff. So like, you know, when you look back, you can write your story afterwards.
Yeah.
And then, but for a long time, it was like me in my bedroom by myself, finding people on the internet and meeting people, no Rhode Island focus at all. And then I got, so like about a few years in, I got a write up in, Huffington Post and Vulture and Rhode Island. And then eventually Crime Town came out, which, and if you listen to that, it was all about the, every season was focused on crime of the city. First season was about Providence.
Oh.
And so Rhode Island Monthly wrote an article, like five podcasts that aren't Crime Town. Shout out Orrin Hannity. I still remember him. And it was the first time I ever got, and I got like Rhode Island Press. And that's actually where I learned the power of local press, to be quite honest, because mm-hmm. It was amazing to be in Huffington Post and Vulture. It was great for my one sheet and whatnot. Nothing happened. I didn't get any more downloads, but it was very prestigious. Getting a write-up in like the Warwick Beacon and the Cranston Herald, I got phone calls, text messages. My downloads just like skyrocketed as like, and all that. So I remember being like, first time realizing like people read these.
Yeah. I mean, you got to think about it. It is a, whatever, if there's a big outlet that covers you, it's a big deal.
It didn't have the effect that you would.
But when you're looking at something like, so there's a couple things to look at when it comes to getting coverage on social media or on the web. It's that people scroll through social media.
Yeah.
And they may see it and they get excited about it. They like it. They comment. They move on. But they're also on social media. If you're friends with somebody, like, which is why somebody might get excited to see coverage about you, because they know who you are, they see you pop up in their feed every once in a while, or all the time, depending on how much you post. So then when they see you pop up again, even though it's not under you, they might not even notice that it's not just your post, you know?
100%.
Versus somebody that picks up a magazine, a place that they don't see your face, and then your face or the thing you're doing or your name is in it, they're like, holy crap.
They're like, whoa.
This is wild.
Yeah.
It just makes a huge difference. I mean, there's obviously there's tons of validity to the web and digital. Like, we are making a huge focus on it and trying to bring some goodness to that as well. But print's never going to go away with that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I think every podcaster secretly wants their name in print. I feel like every one of us, like myself, like I wanted to work in radio, but at that period of my life, my options were like, go to the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. And everyone I knew who went there worked with me at Starbucks, like literally. So it was like, I don't waste all my money. And like radio was, that was an industry that was dead for a number of years. Like, so like secretly, did you have that feeling when you first saw your name in the Providence Monthly under the names?
Remember,
I was like at Dave's and found it. And I knew it would be there, but I like forgot. And I opened it and I was with Victoria and Felicity and I just stopped dead. I was like, that's me.
Right.
That's my name. I've been reading this for like 10 years.
You get like jaded toward it after a while though.
I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Well, I've just been doing this for so long. Like the first time I did a photo that ended up on like one of the covers, or the first time I designed a cover of one of the magazines, I was like pumped.
Yeah.
Now I just move on to the next thing.
Let's see if we get jaded. I'm hoping to have this kid in the candy store feeling.
Yeah, you might not, because I mean that might not happen to you because like you know, whatever. I've been here for going on 8 years, but it hit a point where I was doing a lot of photography and I was the person designing all of the covers. So it's like you go from like it being your first cover to it being your cover every month and it being the first cover that you design and photograph. And then that being the case almost every single month. And it just becomes part of the job.
Yeah.
It is very cool to have. Don't get me wrong. And when I have a really cool one, I'm like, yeah, that one came out awesome.
You're like,
your favorite? Did you do the Hey Roadie December?
Hey Brody December.
The one with that looks like a
sweater.
Was
that Abigail did that. So Abigail does most of the
Abigail. That one's beautiful.
She is a magician.
Abigail is awesome. She does I do very little design work now. I mean, I do stuff for like promotional materials and I do stuff for the websites and I do some stuff for
in our media kit.
Yeah, for the media kit and just things like that. And I'll do a cover here and there if like I do the photo and it just makes sense for me to do it.
Sure.
But Abigail does most of the has been doing 99% of the covers for the past probably year and a half, 2 years, I would say. Maybe more. I have a bad track of time on this kind of stuff, but somewhere in that realm. So I haven't really designed a lot of covers recently, but you know, I'll run into ones that I'd really love to let. I mean, other people might not even love them as much as I do. But
what are ones? Did you do the Santa by the? That must be you, the Santa Claus by the Dean Hotel.
No, that was Wolf Mathewson. Who's an awesome photographer.
That's great.
Full disclosure, we don't have a lot of freelance photographers anymore just because, like everybody else, we're trying to keep our overhead low because inflation goes through the roof. So I, being an employee here and the general manager and the person responsible for keeping the overhead low, I do most of the assigned photography and don't charge for it to the company. So most of the photography, if we have to shoot something specifically for a cover, I'll do the shoot. I think one of my favorite ones that I did in the last couple of years was the So Rhode Island, the women chefs one that we had Frances Medina on the cover. It was a very cool cover. I just liked the portrait shot and how it turned out. And she was like standing there with like the knife in her hand.
I think it was
a cool one.
You're like, I like that one with the knife.
Yeah, it was just, you look like a badass. Yeah. So that was a cool, it was a cool shot.
Because you are quite the anomaly. I think, Jenna, you probably would agree with me on this as too. Of like, you're like a tough, masculine, like dude who likes hunting and knives. But then you're also like a really...
That's the favorite way. I'm putting that in my fucking
bio.
Right,
that's right, your bio. But then also like you're a really... you're a very talented like graphic designer and artist. And I don't know if, did Robert tell me that you're a fan of the musical Rent?
Oh yeah.
I just learned this.
I like musicals.
Who are you?
I had
which I think makes you.
I had the 2-disc music Rent CDs. I used to listen to them all the time. Especially I saw it on Broadway once. I saw it off Broadway once. And I've seen the movie, like the actual movie, a whole ton of times.
What drew you to it?
I used to be in chorus and
band,
and I've done one or two like community theater shows and stuff when I was a kid. I was a dorky little kid.
I got into
all the movies and shows and stuff I watch are like fantasy shows and sci-fi, and I was into comic books and all that kind of stuff growing up, and that was my like side of the
world.
You're
a secret nerd.
Oh, I'm not even that secret about it.
It just doesn't come up.
He just likes sports too.
I just don't talk about it. I mean, I'm not even a big sports guy. I'll watch them here and there, but I might strike you as a sports guy.
Yeah.
If other people are watching them, sure.
Yeah.
If not, like if I go home, I'll watch. If shit has like ghosts, vampires, werewolves, all that kind of stuff, and I'll watch it.
That's awesome.
I'll watch like Sunday football if I have a bet on a game. That's about it. I've read every like Stephen King book up until a few years ago. I don't know. That's the kind of stuff that I'm into. I was obsessed with The Walking Dead and all that kind of stuff too. So
interesting.
I am like in shock.
I know. I actually think all that stuff's really
But
cool.
I do love knives and hunting and fishing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But all that, stuff that was too. Right.
That was accurate.
Yeah, which, I mean, to me, that's the definition of being a nerd. It's not about what the thing is. It's just something you like something.
I hyper obsess over shit.
Yeah.
I always do.
Whatever it is.
I wish I had a... the forethought to get it, but like, you know, a YouTube channel of like Jack of all trades, like using that name.
Yeah.
Because I've always said that I'm a Jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah, but you're actually a master of like a lot of them because you're really good.
I am. I have vague mastery of certain things, but like I hyper obsess about something until I get decently good at it. And once I produce something good out of it, I'm like, mm-hmm. next thing. And yeah. I just move on to the next thing. So like I have a whole bunch of skill sets that are like, I would say intermediate level for whatever that skill set is. And then I just move on to the next thing.
Well,
and then I'll go back to them eventually.
At least they're like productive.
Yeah. Like I do a lot of like woodworking stuff and things like that.
Like
yeah.
I hyper focus on like food for like a week. I'll be obsessed with it.
Like eating it or
just like, I'm
or?
Like, oh. Like, let's have like last week it was
a specific kind of food,
chicken pot pie, which it's like
great,
right?
Yeah, I'm in.
A week I was like,
tell me more.
Yeah, like and then a shepherd's pie, but now like haven't
shepherd's
touched
pie.
It
real shepherd's pie or American shepherd's pie?
There's a difference.
Oh boy.
Yeah, American shepherd's pie uses ground beef and real shepherd's pie would use like lamb.
Yeah, no, I can't eat a lamb.
Meh.
Meh. I feel too bad.
That's why it's shepherd's pie.
Today I learned. Yeah. I never knew that.
But
I was today years old.
I was today years old. But this week it's peanut butter and jelly.
Ooh.
I love peanut butter and jelly.
Where are your go-tos if you're out dining around the state of Rhode Island for like shepherd pie? Where are you going?
Shepherd's pie.
Oh, I'm not eating it out. I'm making it.
You cook too?
Yeah.
Oof. Better than me?
Nice.
Actually, though, I went to Cello's last night and they had shepherd's pie. Yeah.
You didn't get it.
And they had shepherd's pie on the menu. And I was like, but I didn't get it.
No.
That shit's pretty good.
So then I guess peanut butter and jelly, you're probably not going to go out and get like at a restaurant.
Get a real kick-ass peanut butter and jelly somewhere.
Well, yeah. What about like a peanut butter and jelly donut? Would that be something
like an Elvis
do?
Sandwich?
A what?
Sandwich is peanut butter, jelly. It's peanut butter, jelly, banana, and bacon.
Why the bacon?
Because
he died extremely overweight.
But I've seen peanut butter, jelly, and banana, or just peanut butter, jelly, and bacon. It adds like a savory.
Yeah, peanut butter on burgers goes so good.
I was just going to say, have you, either of you ever had that?
Yeah.
I've had an Elvis sandwich before. It was very good.
Oh, no. That I have not. Sorry, I meant the burger. But like, when do you get dining out obsessions? Like, do you have places that you go to and you're like, I have to go here? Like, my current obsession now is a Little Shop of Soups in the arcade. That's like my lunch spot. I've been there like, it's embarrassing when you go in and you're like, the third day, you're like, hi, Emily. Okay, yes again.
They have your order ready.
So I haven't been there, but I don't want to go because I really want it to be like Little Shop of Horrors themed. And if it's not, I don't want to go. Well,
that is really, I did don't pitch go. Them. I did pitch the idea to them that they could, they should like take that logo and play with it. Like,
yeah, that's all I think of if I see like Little Shop of, it's
yeah,
Little Shop of Horrors.
Like, where are your lunch spots?
Like wherever I end up, honestly, just kind of like walk around. I do really like hot clubs, chicken tacos.
Ooh,
and they brought the popcorn back, so like that is my spot.
That sounds good. I never eaten there.
You haven't?
No.
Oh, you are missing out.
I feel like I've only had like French fries or like chicken fingers.
I'm like, no, I'm there. Fine dining there. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's
fine. Well, I mean, I think French fries are fine dining. Like, if you could find a way for an assignment for me to go eat every French fry in the state, I would do it. I would pay you to do that. That's how much I love French fries. Mm. Oh, I love
French what about fries. Tater tots?
Oh yeah, Ogies. Ogies.
Oh yes.
Oh my god.
Yes. Okay. So Ogies. Yes.
Yeah.
Love to go there. Get some tots. Get some chicken fingers. Get like a little pina colada, and I'm good.
Mm. I know. I have such an obsession and love of the West Side.
Yeah, it is a great little spot.
There's so much cool stuff over there. Like it's.
I don't live near anything cool.
We live
in Northern Rhode Island.
We never could figure it out.
I feel like you like live in a cave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, did you say it takes you like an hour and a half to get here?
And you come out with your knives.
I carved it out with a knife. Yeah.
If you were, you have the personality. If you did show up,
I'm right on the Massachusetts border. So yeah.
Like if you one day came here on horseback, I don't think anyone would blink. Like, yeah, of course, Nick could ride a horse.
Be hilarious. Just. All like bow legged trying to walk in. And I just rode 26 miles.
You just like tie the horse up in the front.
Just and then walk in all
nonchalantly. Have you ever been on a horse?
Yeah, yeah. I went to agricultural high school and I was in the large animals courses for the first 2 years.
No shit.
So I had to learn all the anatomy and physiology of horses.
I've only been on a horse like twice.
They're scary.
Did like
the, I love them.
Horseback cool. riding, like
yeah.
You go to like one of the farms and do like little horseback riding things.
Done the jumps. Yeah. It's a thrill. We used to go to the horse show in Madison Square Garden for a field trip every year. I didn't really care about horses, but it was a better school than the one I would have gone to.
I remember being terrified in Busch Gardens standing next to the Clydesdale.
They're huge.
I was probably like 10, and its head was about the size of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just too big. Like, I wasn't afraid of horses, but I was afraid of that thing.
Well, if it kicks you, you're dead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they were just like, here, child. Stand next to this monster that we have Smile. Caged. And I was like, I'm just standing next to it. And I'm like, oh my God, this thing could kill me. It was so big. I didn't like that at all.
But what are the good eating spots up here in Northern Rhode Island you go to?
I don't have shit near me. I mean, I can't say that. There's some stuff I've just eaten it all about 1,000 times.
Yeah.
I'm
trying to think. I used to travel the state for work.
I mean, I used to go to, so you have like your classics. So this is the Village Haven. If you want like family style chicken, Village Haven, Wright's Farm, then we have like Yeel Fish and Chip in Woonsocket, which is like a really old school fish and chip shop that's been around forever.
It's like downtown, right?
Yeah, right near City, not City Side, River Falls. It used to be called City Side, which I believe River Falls just got new ownership. It's reopening again, which is interesting. They have good food. It's a big spot. They have like riverfront dining and stuff, which is cool. In North Smithfield, there's Lucky Dog Tavern, which has really good food. It's like kind of like a chef owned smaller menu, things change up a lot kind of place. And then there's like your go to like basic stuff like Gator's Pub, which has been there. My mom worked. I used to get dropped off there as a kid off of the bus because my mom waitressed there.
Yeah.
And like it's been there forever.
I love places like
there's places like that that have just been around for a very long time.
Have you ever been to Ciro's?
Oh yeah,
in Woonsocket.
Yeah, we used to go there all the time. They messed with the menu too much.
Have they?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how long ago you started going there, but they used to have like a like standard kind of I have to just say like Rhode Island pub kind of menu where they had some better food and they had some pub food and like then they started making, not to hate on them, people love Ciro's, and the food's still good. It's just like, I feel like the stuff that I like, they got rid of, and then it's a limited menu. And I also just don't go places with a lot of young people anymore. If I get bumped more than once, I'm going to like,
you're out.
Knocking you over.
Well, at least you're tall.
That's true. And no one's going to mess with you.
Yeah, you would think
or
so.
Or you're tall enough where people think they have to. Fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have no in between.
Luckily, most of my friends are around my size, so we don't usually have nobody's like a big tough guy or anything, but we just always have just six or seven of us and everybody's.
Do you have a hunting knife on you for non-violence purposes? Just because you're.
I don't carry a hunting knife because you can't in Rhode Island. You can't carry anything over 3 inches. I do always just have a pocket knife though.
Nice.
Have you ever had to use it to carve out of the cave?
This is an audio, so everybody that missed that, my eyes just went wide. I was like, did you just ask me if I've stabbed somebody?
Oh my god, I didn't even realize I was asking that.
Have you ever had to use it?
I don't know. Or like
I killed a guy 3 days ago. Yeah. He's in the dumpster out back. No, I use it literally every day.
Okay, for what?
The amount of times that you run into something that, like, anytime you're like struggling to open something, or you're opening a package that's taped shut, or you would have grabbed for scissors. Like, I just don't have to look for anything I have in my pocket.
Or if you want to stab someone.
Or if I, the guy that's in the dumpster, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but if you're choosing your stabbing, you're going to use something bigger than that.
Yeah, I mean, this is also like
a... You don't want your wrist to get tired.
It's like a 2.5 inch.
Yeah.
I'd have to work real hard.
And the twisting would take it's a whole thing.
But no, I was like...
I killed Jen.
I didn't realize I was asking that.
It was very funny.
This is why I'm.
She
so
didn't
happy.
Register why my face dropped when it she asked perfect. Me that question either. She's like,
wow. I'm like, are you going to answer? Like, let's go.
It was perfect. Like, oh, this is awkward. I love it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You just admitted to the crime. Yeah. No, and I talking about obsessive crap. I get obsessed about random stuff, but I like stuff that requires craft. Mm. So, like, I got big into knives because they're like, it's like getting into. I guess you could say this about any hobby thing, but it's like the reason people get really into wine or cigars or whiskey, or it's like there's a craft to it and the materials matter and the craftsperson matters. And, you know, how long the company's been around plays into it, where it gets made plays into it. Like, and then you start to learn about like knives and stuff, which is just a good one to work off of. And then you realize like, how many times have you been to whatever Crate and Barrel and you're like, why is this one chef's knife $140 or whatever the fuck? You're like, who buys this? I would be the guy that buy it. Because that one chef's knife could last you the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Or you can buy the one from Walmart and replace it every 2 years. It's, you know, there's one of those things. I'm big into like, there are certain products that are worth the money to pay for the high-end one. And there's certain products that just aren't. And I mean, especially for stuff like in your kitchen. Now I'm just playing with my knife.
I know. Can you put it away? I'm scared.
Especially stuff like in your kitchen. It's a good place to start. Like you can. You're better off just spending the money, getting the good one, and letting it last you 10, 15 years versus whatever. You know, every time you cheap out on something, you got to replace it in a year. And then you've paid double what you would have paid, and it's not worth doing. But
I just had a realization. If Nick is a fictional character, he's Ron Swanson.
I did love Ron Swanson.
God. Yeah. Yes.
With like
I'm also have like the same political views. I'm
very
libertarian. You talked about I-195 earlier, and I was like, that's a state government for you.
That's exactly what I would say. And then like maybe like a drop of Dwight Schrute. Like a drop.
Did you ever see
that thing online that was like you and three fictional characters?
No.
Oh, it was so funny. Like you pick like who would you be. Who would you put for Nick? I definitely see Ron Swanson and Nick.
Oh, 100% Ron Swanson.
Sweet. But Nick's also really funny, so it's got to be someone funny too. Well, Ron's funny. I don't know if I have three. Well, wait, let's go for Jenna now. Who's your fictional character?
I don't know. You tell me.
I don't know. You're kind of also an anomaly to me.
Really?
Yeah. Because
everybody's an anomaly to Chris.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's losing its luster.
Yeah, it's luster.
I know. I'm like, pick a new word.
No. I'm always get like surprised by you. Like, because like you just first meet, you're like very like professional and proper, and then the more we've gotten to like work together and know each other, like when we were out one night, we were talking about something, how you're gonna do like experiential stuff for the magazines. I was like, oh yeah, you got to go to like high-end spas and like, you know, really get that. So you're like, oh no, I can't go anywhere too nice.
Go get a tattoo instead.
I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. But I'm totally fine just getting a tattoo in the middle of a store on my back.
Your exact words were like, I can't go to those places. I don't know how to act. And then my what did you say? But you said something to the effect of like, then my weirdness comes out.
Yeah.
And you don't come off weird. So I'm always like, really?
I don't?
No.
Oh my goodness. I don't,
did you feel the same way, Nick? God. Or like, didn't come off kind of, and then in the best way possible.
I don't know. I feel like you haven't, you're like, you know, you get to know somebody as the longer that you work with them. I feel like you're right along the trajectory of who I thought you were, like ability to be professional, but likes to have fun into like the, mm-hmm. the stuff that you're into and
like Bravo.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I like, I'm decently good at reading people.
Yeah.
At least just like personality traits and stuff like that. So it's not that often that somebody like comes out and surprises me with something. But they thought they slipped by me in an interview or something.
Yeah.
Like, oh good, he doesn't know I'm weird. Like, no, I knew you were weird. That's why I hired you. I don't want boring people.
Yeah. Well, that's like Chris when I told you I did I still do kickboxing.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think my jaw dropped. I was like, really?
I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah. Actual mm-hmm. kickboxing or like Billy Blank kickboxing?
I don't know. Like I go like and I hit a bag.
Oh, so you'd go like a kickboxing gym?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yep. Because
there's like the like more exercise version of kickboxing. That's like, I don't know the best way to explain it. Like
no, I get what
you know what I mean? Where it's like more of like a choreographed thing. Mm-hmm. And then there's like.
No, they teach us like
throw a correct kick and technique and mm-hmm. all that stuff. It's a very good workout anyway. So.
Yeah, it's great. It's fun. I hate it during it, but I'm like, I drove myself here and I'm paying for this. So
if you really know how to kick, that's your best bet. If you want to learn how to like, I mean, it's not easy to get a kick off, but if your ability to punch somebody very hard at your size versus your ability to throw some weight into a good kick.
I could probably come close to kicking your head.
Yeah.
I would like better to off. See
you're
some
gonna.
Content.
You could probably do some damage.
I would like a video of that. Not today, just one day.
I'll let you kick me in the head for content.
Yeah.
It's let's all do for it. Content.
Yeah,
I mean, like one of those sparring helmets and just tee off on me.
No, just start a fight club here.
That's it.
Oh my god, hey Rhodey Media.
We already ruined it because the first rule about fight club
is you don't.
Yeah. It's true.
Don't talk about
every
it
every time. I ruin everything. I guess I think
every time Chris tries to start a fight club,
I've ruined it.
He's like, why isn't this working?
Where is everybody? I advertised about. Oh, damn it.
Oh, I ruined it.
I think of Park and Rec. I get like little Ann Perkins, Leslie Nelson combo with you.
Yeah.
Like serious, but also kind of silly and driven.
Like the episode where Leslie comes back, like after adopting all those dogs. That is me.
Yeah. I mean, my wife used a line from Parks and Rec in our wedding vows. Like, we love Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
I love that show.
Yeah, I was
so
like
much
obsessed with Parks and Rec. And then they took it off of Netflix, and I was.
I know. So,
I know.
I had Peacock just to watch all the everything. NBC stuff.
I have like every streaming service, so I don't know why I'm complaining, but I normally watch. I didn't have them at the time, but it is on like the worst streaming. So Peacock and.
What's the other one? Paramount?
Paramount Plus.
And, I know.
Oh, yeah.
Get out of here.
Paramount
just
sucks.
Sell your freaking stuff to one of the major ones so I don't have to buy your garbage streaming service unless you want to advertise on this podcast. And then
we love
you're
it
great. But no, like it was like Netflix and Hulu at one point. And like that's, you needed those two. And if they just stuck to that and, well, if Netflix knew this was going to happen, they probably would have. But like if they offered more money for the rights and then they just increased everybody's subscription rates by a little bit instead of all these new things popping up.
Yeah.
Bad new things.
Everybody would have been in good shape. Like I have like 9 streaming services.
Oh, dude, it's
same.
It sucks how the cable industry was like, we're going to evolve and change. And now we're doing the same thing, but worse.
Yeah. I mean, it'll go like they can't stay sustainable. No, I mean, like whatever CNN
Plus
or whatever lasted like a week.
Or
that was a thing.
Remember Quibi?
Told you. It didn't last.
Yeah. Remember during the pandemic when Quibi came out? Does anyone?
Yes, I do.
Probably
remember
it was like
was like short form stuff.
Short
right?
form, but you couldn't watch it. I don't remember, but it was. I know it's weird, and now like all this stuff from like I got rid of HBO once they switched over to Max because I'm like, what the hell am I paying for all this crap for? Because I love HBO, but I don't want everything else.
Again, well, I already had Cinemax too, so it became HBO Max, which I believe is because they merged with Cinemax, so they became HBO Max. But I already had both, and it just all they did was add content, and it didn't get any more expensive.
And all that content's now on Netflix.
this is comical because both of you, I've heard multiple times, just be like, yeah, I just watch YouTube. And it's like you're talking about.
I do stream, and both. I watch YouTube.
Yeah.
So I like, mostly it's Netflix. I'd say if I what I watch is like Netflix, HBO, and probably Prime.
Yeah, the there are some good ones.
The new Reacher season is coming out soon.
But no one has Prime to watch stuff. You do it for the free delivery, and it just comes with it.
Exactly. Yeah. It just worked out that way.
It just works out that way. Like, do you have any current obsessions of things you're all watching? Like, I wrote, I'm like, I rotate a lot.
I'm at the point where I'm rewatching like everything I've already watched 50 times.
Yeah. That's kind of, well, the, rest in power, Andre Bauer passed away yesterday. So we're rewatching Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Gotcha.
He's incredible.
I have been the thing that's on a loop, and I feel like everybody has a show that they put on before bed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, it's that thing that, like, you like, but you don't have to pay attention because you've seen it a thousand times. For a lot of people, it's The Office.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, it's Supernatural.
Oh, nice.
Kind of intense for before bed.
And you got a lot of seasons to work with.
And there's, like, 20 seasons. I started watching it when I used to, like, when it was on live TV. And I would be like at my dad's house and he didn't have cable and it was on like one of like the five channels you can get on an antenna. So like I've been watching that show forever. I've probably seen every episode of that show 10 times, if not more. And there's got to be like 500 episodes of that show.
Those guys have so much money.
Yeah, they've been doing
It's insane. Like they have private plane money. Like they own their own planes.
And what's his name? The guy that plays Dean.
Jared something?
Jared Padalecki played Sam. The other guy is on, what the hell is the superhero show?
The Boys?
Superman?
The Boys.
Oh.
Yeah. And isn't one of them going to do the new one, Walker Texas Ranger?
That's Jared Padalecki.
Oh, yeah. My sister-in-law Samantha is an obsessive fan. I didn't realize the power of that show until I was at Rhode Island Comic-Con one year when they were there.
Oh, yeah.
And like, what I love about Comic-Con is like, there's so many huge fandoms that I'm just not aware of the power of how large they are. Oh my God. That Cobra Kai, Power Rangers, and wrestling were the four things to Comic-Con that I did not know.
I never got into Cobra Kai. I know everybody loves
My friend writes, who I've interviewed on my podcast, Bob Dearden, a good guy. Like, we're buddies. And I interviewed him. He was writing for iZombie. Then he went to Cobra Kai, and I still haven't watched
it. I liked iZombie.
I did too. I love that. One of my proudest
Took that off the air, huh?
It's on Netflix again.
Are they coming out with a new season of it or what?
Oh, it's all
I've seen all of it. Oh, they called it over because they didn't end the show.
It ended on the...
Oh, they dropped the bomb on it, didn't they?
They end the city and then they do a flash forward.
I think they did. I totally know. Yeah. I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
I have watched everything.
I watch a lot of CW. I used to watch a lot of CW.
Except for apparently Cobra Kai.
Yeah, but it's one of my proudest gets I ever got was Rahul Kohli, who at that time he was on iZombie. But now I think he's on the big one he's on now is The Fall of the House of Usher and video games. And
I like him.
But I got to interview him before he got like famous. He was really nice.
Who was he in Fall of the House of
Didn't Usher? Watch
it. He's one of the brothers. He's the I don't want to get his Indian.
Yeah, he's
my
Indian.
Guess. Indian. Yeah. I just didn't want to take a guess and be wrong.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He's the only one of the brothers that's Indian.
He's a British Indian man.
Okay.
He's got a British accent.
A British.
Yeah, he's British.
He's British.
I like him.
He's in a lot of great stuff. But yeah, that's why podcast is so fun because you get to talk to your heroes.
Yeah, that's cool.
That was my favorite part. But like, yeah, maybe I'll watch Cobra Kai one day. I don't know. I have a hard time watching stuff.
What is Cobra Kai about?
Karate Kid, I think.
It's like it's not a prequel. It would be like almost not a sequel, but like same universe but it's supposed to be after Karate Kid. Like they're adults now.
Which I haven't seen.
And like, it's the story from the bad guy from the first one, like the bully kid.
Yeah.
The the sweep the leg like that, his opponent.
Yeah.
But then it kind of turns out that, what the hell's his name? The main character from Karate Kid's like kind of a jerk. He owns like a car dealership. He's followed himself and always like kind of shits on the other guy. And I watched a couple episodes of it. It wasn't bad. It's just not really my kind of show.
Yeah. And like I'm married, so like my TV watching, if I'm gonna focus on something, is to do it with another person.
Somebody was definitely just listening to this going like, that's not what the fucking show is.
Yeah,
about.
I know.
They're like idiots.
But I'm pretty sure that it is.
Yeah. Well, that's good that you let your wife pick the shows because my boyfriend does not let me pick a single show. And so I watched like
I didn't say I let her. I think we figured out we all went out to we went to Pine Street Social Club, yes, the four of us, and we learned that Jenna and I are the golden retrievers in our relationships, and my wife and your boyfriend are the black cats.
Yes, but I can sometimes be a house cat.
Yeah,
depends on the day.
Like we had, I was like, oh, okay, same dynamic. So I'm the same boat. She's just learned not to wait for me to watch stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, same.
I feel like if I my perfect version of, not like in a relationship, not every night, because there's certain nights where you want to watch a movie together or whatever.
Yeah.
But like the nights where you're just like, say, after work hanging out, if you could both be sitting on the couch next to each other, be able to still chat, but be watching completely separate things.
Yeah.
At the same time,
I do that with my laptop.
Kind of watch your own thing. They're watching their own thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch what you're watching,
but like half listen.
And I don't want to pretend that I want to watch it just because I want to socialize with you. Like, can't we just watch separate stuff?
Yeah. That's what I do.
Yeah. I would like that a lot more.
What's Josh making you watch now?
It was Criminal Minds. It still kind of is.
Well, that's embarrassing, Josh.
No, there's other, like, he watches everything. I can't even remember like what we watched because it just like cycles through.
Have you ever...
that new movie on Netflix, like End of the World.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
With Julia Roberts.
Oh, is it good?
The sales folks were talking about that.
Very, very good. If you have like anxiety about life, don't watch it because it's just, it makes you think a lot and you won't like Teslas after seeing it.
Okay, that wasn't hard to do. Fair enough. I haven't seen that. That's funny. That's so funny. As Victoria watches Heartstopper, and I play my Switch a lot.
Yeah.
Or last night was Bob's Burgers.
Oh, see, Bob's Burgers is good.
Obsessive.
I like Bob's Burgers.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, can we find a Rhode Island connection for any? Because I know a couple of those people. I'm like, how can we pull these people onto the podcast? We'll find a way.
I always tried to, like, find a way to get Charlie Day on.
Oh, yeah, he lives here, right?
He's from, like, Cranston or...
Cranston.
No, I thought it was the islands.
Yeah, maybe one of the islands. I can't remember. There's a couple of people that were, like, even if they didn't live here their whole lives, like, have...
There's a lot. You guys did a cover.
More than you thought.
You did the Rhodey Wood cover about that. About the, like, Hollywood in Rhode Island.
Oh, yeah.
Post-pandemic. I think Robert wrote it.
Shooting movies and stuff here.
But there's there's a lot of, I used to work in the Biltmore, but there's a lot of celebrities, and especially post-pandemic, of industry people who like live in
What's her, I'm not even going to try to throw a name out there. There's a famous actress that's from.
Oh, Viola?
Yes, Viola Davis.
Yeah, I met her. She came into the Bucks once. I made an ass out of myself in front of her and her mother.
Perfect.
It was lovely.
Well played. I think you talked about that on our episode.
Yeah, I definitely
did. Pretty
sure
you did.
Michael Keaton has a house. A client I used to work at my old job at Butler used to work at his house in Bristol.
Oh.
Like a friend of a friend's like neighbor wrote the Harry Potter video game. Like, I guess once the pandemic happened, a lot of those people were like, who are like bi-coastal or New York or Boston,
yeah,
for whatever reason, had some ties to Providence, which is so much cheaper.
Oh yeah, way cheaper. Like, there were a lot of people that like still work in Boston but moved to Providence.
Yeah,
yeah.
They left their apartment to buy a house on the east side or whatever. So there's a lot to tap into some of the celebrities around here that we get. And
all right, so this is a good transition into a kind of a wrap up thing. We're going on an hour now, so. What is your, between the two of you, taking over on the podcast, becoming like the major hosts? Obviously, you'll still see me here and there, but I will not be a controlling interest in the podcast anymore. Like, what are you looking forward to? What are your plans? This would be a good chance for you to kind of rant about like what you'd like to see happen, who you'd like to have on, the type of people you're looking for, whatever you want to do.
Blue Sky version. I'd love to continue the legacy that you and Sasha started with having the business owners and interest in people with ties to Rhode Island for sure. And then I'd love to get to a point where we're getting that. And like, so when big artists are coming through, like comedian, we're all comedy fans here, or musicians are coming through and they're playing Rhode Island. I'd love to get to the point where like the stop where they have to come here to promote I know we were even like live shows would be awesome.
I mean, we can merch. We can force them to come with Nick and his knife.
That's true. Or obviously go.
Well, that's what happened to the guy that's in the dumpster.
Yeah.
He said no.
He said Print is dead. And Nick's like, yeah, right.
I said, I'll show you what's dead.
No, he said rent. isn't a good move. Isn't a good musical.
Right, it's a terrible musical. I was like, you're gonna regret.
You're
that.
Like, I'm triggered. You're done.
Yeah. Guess what?
Yeah.
You're done.
I think that all that stuff really excites me, and I'm really excited to build a community around it. Like Nathan and I host podcast meetups that we'll get to be able to do, and I'm also really excited to get to do the pod tour and getting to highlight all the amazing business owners and digital creators and within our state and the people who have connections to Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of reality stars from here too, which like an oddly number compared to other states. Like, I can think of like five off the top of my head.
Everybody here's bored.
Yeah.
When you're in like your 20s, early, late teens, early 20s, those are the people you pick up for the path, like in, you know, whatever, real world road rules and like all those kind of things. So
well, I think it's because New York is 3 hours away. So
yeah,
it's
close
like,
enough.
We don't have to fly you in.
Boston.
Like my friend Camilla was just in the Squid Games challenge show.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and isn't the guy from Survivor, a couple of Survivors are from here?
I found that show funny because it was essentially they were like, we'll do what Mr. Beast did.
Yep, but less good. Less,
but yeah, not as good. Yeah, they're definitely not going to get as many views.
I actually didn't watch it, but
I mean, Mr. Beast just, I mean, it's it is a reality show version of Squid Games that came out a year ago, and then Netflix is like, we're going to do a reality show version.
They're like,
of Squid
oh,
Games.
That's a good idea.
We can piggyback on that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it's still good. I didn't watch it.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I just, that was the first thing I thought of was like, oh yeah, look at that. They've just taken that idea.
What about you for someone who didn't, who's never been on a podcast to all of a sudden host it from someone who was a teacher last year is now hosting like a legacy podcast.
I know. It was like, it's kind of crazy to think about. I'm just excited to like personally, like this will help me grow as a person, but it's also like we get to help the small businesses of Rhode Island. And I think that's really cool. So just like, I'm here to have a good time.
I like that.
You know?
It's really fun.
Yeah.
It really is. It's about the friends we make along the way.
Definitely.
Yeah. I always joke that a podcast is just an adult play date.
It's true.
I
used to say all the time, there's not a lot of, when else can I lock an interesting person in a room with me and make them talk to me for an hour?
Yeah.
And I didn't need to use my knife for it.
I know. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God.
And then, you know, you get to, and I've gotten to befriend and know my heroes from doing that. It's such a weird
I mean
thing.
You don't like unless it's like somebody like your really good friend after a long night of drinking and you're just hanging out and then you talk for a few hours, like you don't tend to just sit and talk to any other person for an hour to an hour and a half at a time on a Wednesday. It's just like it forces people to actually have a conversation.
It's like strangely a good way to unplug.
Yeah
It's the campfire.
That's right.
True.
Yeah.
We should light the table on fire next time. I got a solo stove. We can
of course you do.
Burn the entire place down, apparently.
I'll bring the marshmallows.
And I really, I mean, and I hope that we can have it be like community driven. Like it's, you know, it's we're our show, but we want to hear from the listeners. Like, what do you want? And I'm really excited. And I think we're all very much on the same page where we get real hyped up by fun ideas and like to run with them. So we're open to all of them.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. And I was just thinking, too, that like even though I won't be the main host anymore or one of the main hosts anymore, I have a feeling I might still be popping back on here anyway. Like if somebody, one of you can't be there for it. I'm a backup host now.
Yeah.
So you may hear from me again.
What's on Rogan? Who's that? Is it Jamie?
Oh, young Jamie.
Yeah. You're going to be. I think we'll have to refer to him for now.
The guy in the booth.
Either should you young Nick or producer Jamie. I mean, producer Nick will have to be his new title.
No, Knife Man.
Knife Man.
Yeah.
Knife Man Nick.
Like an urban legend.
Yeah. I
mean, if that's not, we don't.
And once a year, Knife Man.
We do have designers who could put that on a shirt. Do like a little character of Knife Man Nick.
I'd buy if that. If it's merch, you know I'm down.
Yeah, I'm so down for fan art.
That'd be the craziest thing. I mean, somebody wants to make a Knife Man Nick.
If anyone's out there, fan
I
art,
will wear it.
I will wear the heck out of that.
That'd be ridiculous. But all right, well, we're at an hour. First episode with you two, and we'll have many more to come. So everybody, we do still have our on social media. We have the Hey Rhody podcast on Instagram, and then just our at Hey Rhody on Instagram, Facebook, all of those places. You know, we'll be sharing about this all over the place. You can catch everything on the websites at heyrhody.com. There is a podcast tab if you want to look at it there. And then you can, obviously, if you're listening to it here, but you'll be able to find it on any other podcasting network you're looking for. And I hope everybody enjoys this and that they enjoy the rest of their day.
Yeah. Bye, guys.
Say bye.
Peace. Yes.